Introduce our guest speaker today. And of course, she doesn't really need all that much of an introduction because she's a very old friend of Vision. Not that she's old. No, didn't mean that. Many of us know her as the for the 15 years that she headed the, she was the founding minister of Pacific Church, and also through her 10 years as community spiritual leader of the Centers for Spiritual Living. And she continues to share her gifts of inspiration and high consciousness through as an international speaker, as a facilitator, as a counselor, and so many other delightful things. And I just have to say personally, just a little note, she was the person who introduced me to religious science about 25 years ago. She was the one who married Michael and I about 18 years ago. And she has been just a dear friend and mentor throughout my spiritual journey. And so I am just so, so grateful to have shared this path with this wise and wonderful and warm, loving woman. And I hope you will help me welcome Reverend Dr. Pat. Kathy Hearn.
Good morning. Yay. How are you? Goodness, the room is full. So happy to see you all. It's a great, there's so many of you I know and love. Wow, it's always such a warm experience to come here. I'm delighted to be here today. I'm so glad to see all of you, and I always appreciate the invitation to come and speak at Vision because I love Reverend Patty, and I find it a great joy to support her ministry because she's doing a wonderful job. Is that not so? Yes. And her theme for this month, which I'm also happy to support, is living a life of joy. And joy is a fantastic spiritual topic because it brings us immediately to confront how we're living our life. And are we actually living our life with joy or something other than that? And the call, I think, in this topic is to find a way to find holy ground, in our life experience where we can tap into that which gives us joy, not just in spite of and certainly not because of, but right in the midst of what is taking place in our life and in contemporary life that is often so very challenging. Yes? Yes. And I have had unjoyful times in my life. How about you? Yes. And so joy is good. Joy is a good topic. So as I contemplate the topic of joy, there are two quotations that have alternately opened my mind, troubled me, and guided me, and challenged me. And the first one you've already heard today because Paul shared it from Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, which is that joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. Joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God, and so my talk for today is the infallible sign. And Teilhard de Chardin was a visionary Jesuit, a paleontologist, and he spent a lot of his life trying to integrate, wanting to integrate religious experience with natural science. So he was looking for God in life, you could say. And he came up with that wonderful quotation, "Joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God." So what does that mean? That means that when we are in joy, we're in the presence. And if we're not in joy, somehow we have lost connection with the presence of God or the foundation of life itself. And if we find that we have lost our joy, then we can do something to get back into the connection. We can do something to get back to the connection. And I think it's really important to honor and acknowledge when we have lost our joy and bring awareness to that. So immediately, I want to give you a practice to do. So think of something that is heavy on your heart or that you have a concern about. If you need one, I'll give you one of mine. Unfortunately, I don't have too many. So you got something? Okay, so hold that in your heart. and in your mind and look down. And just feel how that condition or situation feels in you as you look down. And take a breath. And now lift your eyes and lift your head and look laterally out. Not just at the back of the head of the person in front of you, but see if you can look straight out from you and see how that condition or situation feels now. Okay, and the final thing to do is to look up, to lift your head and look up and raise your eyes and see if something shifts. A shift? Something begins to come? There begins to be a flow of possibility? Look up about 45 degrees. Some of you are like this. That's great. So sort of like that. And there's a very old, this seems to be a Christian teaching day. I love it. There's a very old statement in the Bible that says, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And so when we look up, there's something neurologically for us that when we look up, we begin to receive the flow of something greater than our condition. Did that work? Try it later. Thank you for saying yes, all three of you. So joy is a sure sign of the presence of God, an infallible sign, and one of the practices that we can do is look up and actually invite in something other than the conditions that we keep looking at. Because whatever we give our attention to, that's what increases. So that's the first quotation for me from Chardin, Teilhard de Chardin. The second one comes from Paramahansa Yogananda, and it is how I learned it, how I hear it, is it's possible under all circumstances to be joyful. It is possible under all circumstances to be joyful. Now, in the spirit of transparency, I actually looked for that quotation and could not find it by him. And so it has to do with how I received something that he said and began to work with it myself and make a truth for myself about it, because I remind myself of that quotation often. Here is what he did say, though. He said, learn to be secretly happy within your heart in spite of all circumstances. Learn to be secretly happy within your heart in spite of all circumstances. And he said, a good rule to live by that will take you sailing through many tests in life is under all circumstances to remain even-minded and cheerful. So how is that possible, that in all circumstances to be joyful? Please take a breath. Suddenly you all went, ooh, you know. I am not a fan of denial, and our study is not a practice in denial. So beginning to deal with a quotation that says this is possible under all circumstances to be joyful is not meant to be to deny that sometimes we have experiences on this earth plane where things shift and change and we don't like it one bit. And people come and go, relationships begin and end and transform. We have challenges of finances, challenges of body and health, and all kinds of things go on. You know, the political campaign goes on and on and on. There are all of those things. And you know what? We can tell the truth. And I think one of the most important things to do, as I said, I think already, is in the midst of a moment of not being happy to say, I'm not happy. I have lost my joy. Because in the willingness to tell the truth about that, we begin the process of taking responsibility for it. And the big truth is, no one else is responsible for our happiness and our joy, even though we sure like to have them think they are. They are not responsible. They cannot do it. They are busy with their own happiness and joy, and so it comes to us. And so we are here today to open up to the awareness that no matter what the circumstances are, there is an abiding something that we can call the presence of God or the truth of life that we can turn our attention to, and that when we turn our attention to it, something begins to shift. That when we are unhappy, there is something that we can turn to that will assist us in our happiness. So it's all about attention. Joy is all about where we place our attention. And to the degree that we are looking at and judging our life based on our circumstances, or looking to people, places, and things to be a certain way so that we can be happy, to that degree we are setting ourselves up for disappointment and for losing our joy. Amen? Can I have an amen? Okay. Yeah. And to the degree that we give our attention to the holy ground of our being, the presence of God, the foundation of life itself, that thing that abides, the word abides keeps coming up for me, to that degree that we turn to something other than the conditions, we will find a passageway to a greater experience of joy. So I heard a very moving story the other day. I'm, along with the things that Jean shared about me, I am the dean of the School of Ministry in Encinitas. And we had a wonderful class the other day, music and ministry, and Dr. Michael Gott came into town. Some of you may know Michael. He's a wonderful musician as well as a minister. He's at the Unity of Houston Church. And so Michael was doing this class for our students, and he began to talk about a man named Horatio Spafford. And Horatio Spafford was a hymnist. So we're having, this is a Christian hymn day, which is unusual, right? But anyway, that's what we're hearing today. It's wonderful. And he was a hymnist, and he was also a man who had a number of traumatic events in his life. For example, his 2-year-old son died suddenly. He was in Chicago at the time, in 1871, at the time of the Great Fire in Chicago, and he had huge financial reversals because he lost property. There was a loss of property that he had invested in, and then 2 years later, there was even more financial reversal because of that. And he and his family, his wife and his 4 daughters, were going to take a trip to Europe on a steamer, and he sent them ahead while he stayed back at the last moment in order to deal with some work matters. And their steamer was in a collision with another ship, and it sank. His 4 daughters were lost. And his wife sent what has become a famous telegram saying, "Saved alone." And so he boarded another steamer and went to be with his grieving wife. And as the ship was passing the place where his daughters died, he was moved to write down the words of a hymn. And I've invited Nathan to come forward and play a little bit of it for us.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend, even though it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul.
So in the class, Dr. Michael was sharing about the power of music to lift and heal. And yet what I hear in that song is the lifting and healing that come when we find a way to turn away from the conditions and know something that abides. And know something that abides. Because as long as we look at the conditions, we are in the sorrow and the difficulty of it. And so the teaching is, no matter what, it is well with my soul. So there's a similar story, much lighter, that comes out of the Zen tradition from Japan. And this is a pretty famous story as well. And it's the story of a man who was being chased by a ferocious tiger. And the tiger drove him to the edge of the cliff, and he grabbed a hold of a vine, and he began to swing over the edge of the cliff, and there he was dangling. So there's a tiger above him, and as he looked down, he noticed that there was a whole group of tigers at the bottom snarling at him, and to make matters even worse, there were two little mice gnawing at the vine that he was holding on to. And so he had a moment of thinking, you know, I could die any moment. But in that moment, he spied a wild strawberry growing on the side of the cliff. And he looked at it, and he said, ah, strawberry. And holding on to the vine, he plucked the strawberry and put it into his mouth. And never had a strawberry tasted so good. And that's the end of the story. So, whichever teaching you like. But it is, again, about shifting attention away from the problem or the difficulty to find something else, something more beautiful, something more powerful, something more true and abiding to give our attention to. Because whatever we give our attention to, that's what's going to fill our consciousness. I've had my own realizations about joy. And a number of years ago, I got the Animal Medicine book by Jamie Sam. Some of you probably know that book. And in that book, hummingbirds are talked about as the symbols of joy. And since I accepted that symbology, I've had wonderful encounters with hummingbirds. Every now and then, they'll like fly in front of my face, like, could you get the message? You know, remember joy. They show up at really interesting times for me. And the story I want to share about is that at a particularly unjoyful time in my life, my back door, my bedroom door, was open to the deck at the back of my house, and a hummingbird flew in, and it was a little one. And it came to perch on the wood frames of a window that I had, but the window was closed. And it kept, even though the door was still open, it kept fluttering and hitting against the window and trying to move, but it wasn't moving well at all. And I was worried about it. So I tried to lower the window. It just kept going down, you know. And so I finally went up to it, and I took it in my hand. And I had a little species encounter in that moment, looking at this tiny little thing, and it was pretty stunned. You know, who's that? I'm sure it was thinking. His little eye, you know, and the beak, and that beautiful iridescent green and fuchsia. And I looked at it, and I thought, joy is in my hand. You know, and I let it go, it flew away, and I was thinking more about that phrase. I realized my joy is in my hands. My joy is in my hands, not someone else's. And so it's for each of us to know that if joy is to be, it's up to us. If joy is to be for me in my life, it's up to me to find the things that speak about joy, that turn me back to joy when I have lost. We're all responsible for our own experience of joy. And if we have lost our joy, somewhere we have lost our connection with the presence of God. So, and it's not that it went away anywhere. Joy is a quality of God. It doesn't turn off and on, but we turn to it and turn away from it. You know, and I think that's the awareness we want to have. So I invite you to think about what takes place. Catch yourself in the act of losing your joy. Catch yourself in the moments where something takes place, a thought or a conviction, and suddenly you have lost your joy. Because awareness is curative, and just the willingness to catch the moment, something starts to happen. So here are a couple of thoughts that I have about what makes us lose our joy. First of all, these are some of my top favorites, the stories we tell in our heads that speak to us about our separation from good. You know what I mean? And what I know is that if I get on that train always goes to the same place, and it isn't good, and it's not joyful. And so we want to watch. I was started to read a book by Mary O'Malley, who's a new author to me, called What's in the Way is the Way. It's a really good title. And she talks about the storyteller in our heads that just, you know, manufactures the same stories all the time, and we ride it to the same destination. So that's one thing, is to catch ourselves telling those same old stories. You've told them 1,000 times, and it doesn't get any better. The second thing is to look at unconscious agreements that you've made. So we have a minister in our organization, Dr. Kathy Ann Lewis, who does a beautiful teaching about the silent vows that we make. And in the Christian tradition, there are vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, which on first blush we'll say, I don't want any of those. But you know, when we look really subtly at those, the vow of poverty is the agreement with life to, in order to be spiritual, to never quite have enough. To never quite have enough of this, that, or the other, okay? The vow of chastity is I can't love God and love someone else too. I'll let you figure out the rest of that for yourself, okay? And the vow of obedience is I have to work really hard to be good. And those may not be your top three, but it's valuable to look, what mental models do I have about life? And what are the little agreements? What are my persistent patterns? And what does that speak? What do they say about the agreements that I have made with life that maybe are not in alignment with my joy? Whenever we define ourselves by our conditions, we're going to lose our joy. Whenever we say, what I'm going through is what I am, we're in trouble. Because that is not the truth. Who you are is so much greater than anything you're going through. So when we have some awareness of how it is that we lose our joy and we stop expecting other people to make it all better for us, we can begin to take up the work of restoring ourselves to joy. And what is it that does that? Well, again, I'll share with you some of my favorite things. For me, the practice of the presence of God is done really wonderfully outside. To be out in nature, to just in any moment look at the blue of the sky and to feel the wind or the air and just to sense the season. You know, now we're in a season of change. It's lovely. And really just to connect with the greater something that we call life. And one of the poets who brings me beautifully into an experience of nature is Mary Oliver. And I want to share this poem with you, and there's a particular part of it that I have loved for a long time, and I'll tell you when we get there. It's called Morning Poem. Every morning the world is created. Under the orange sticks of the sun, the heaped ashes of the night turn into leaves again and fasten themselves to the high branches. And the ponds appear like black cloth on which are painted islands of summer lilies. If it is your nature to be happy, you will swim away along the soft trails for hours, your imagination alighting everywhere. And if your spirit carries within it the thorn that is heavier than lead, if it's all you can do to keep on trudging, there is still somewhere deep within you a beast shouting that the earth is exactly what it wanted. That's the part I love. I often think about it when it's so beautiful and I'm so into walking by the ocean, I say, the earth is just what I wanted. Each pond with its blazing lilies is a prayer heard and answered lavishly every morning, whether or not you have ever dared to be happy, whether or not you have ever dared to pray. The presence of God, the beauty of nature, is always there. Go outside. Go outside, take a look, let it in, breathe. I have a friend by the name of Sheila Colburn. Some of you know her. She's a body worker. And at a time when I was having some back trouble, she said, you know, you really need to wag your tail each day. Find something to wag your tail about each day. I love that advice. I remember it. It's good. And it improved my back as well. Or some people will talk about finding the happy place. Find your happy place within. All of these things are ways that we can let go of our separation and turn back to the truth that the foundation of life is the one, that this one is the all, that the good of life has been given. It's all available. And that anytime we choose, we may turn our attention to it and to receive that more fully and completely. And if we're not doing that, we're not going to have the joy that we really truly deserve. So I'm making the point here that joy is always available. It is a quality of God that is the essence and truth of your being, and it is there for you if you turn to it. Joy is an inside job. Joy is an inside job. It is in our hands to experience or not, according to our choice and our intention. And finding whatever it is that awakens us to the presence of God, that opens up the passageway to joy. And it also helps if we look up. It also helps. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'd like to teach you a three-line practice that we're going to do three times. We love threes, you know. So I invite you to lift your hands like this, both hands, and look up and say, Infinite God, in Him, in whom I live and move and have my being. Infinite God, in whom I live and move and have my being. And now put your hands out. I only can show you one. Out like this. Very good. Intimate God, you are always with me. Intimate God, you are always with me. And then hands to your heart, close your eyes. Innermost God, I am the light of the world. And so let's do it again. Arms up, looking up. Infinite God, in whom I live and move and have my being. Intimate God, you are always with me. Innermost God, I am the light of the world. And for the last time, infinite God, in whom I live and move and have my being. Intimate God, you are always with me. Innermost God, I am the light of the world. And I invite you to sit down, close your eyes if you'd like to. Taking a nice deep breath, just letting all the thoughts and the feelings arrive. Knowing already and always that the good of God has already been given. The gift of life has been made. It is ours for the seeing and the receiving. Joy is ours to experience. I recognize this truth of the one life that is joy, that is the essence and truth of who and what we each are. I know and accept that as we are in joy, we are in the presence, and as we are in the presence, we are in joy. For joy is an infallible sign of the presence of God. I also know that it is possible in all circumstances to find something that speaks to us of the reality of God that abides, no matter the circumstances or situations or difficulties. And so it is in this awareness that I give thanks for this time together today, for this wonderful topic of joy. And I accept that the inner one in all of us knows what to do with it, and that we find ourselves opening up to regard the beauty of life, saying, Hail, presence of God. We find ourselves moving within to acknowledge, I am the light of the world. We feel ourselves united with all beings, all aspects of life in each and every moment, and allowing ourselves to walk paths of great and unfolding joy. And so I simply give thanks for this, and I release this word, and I accept that it is done. And together we say, and so it is. Thank you.